Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. How you guys doing out there? It is the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Once again, I am your host, Adam Beebe. And with me, as always, is your other host, Barry Johnston.
Yo, what's up, man? How's things?
Things are all right. You know, it's we're finally, you know, starting to get a little bit nicer weather here. We're after post summer, you know, so it's going to start getting into fall, which is much nicer. I like the fall and the winter because you can layer up and look pretty decent.
Yeah, I do too, man. I just like the brisk, you know, mornings and the smells in the air, people burning firewood, you know.
Yeah.
Love it's, all it's, that.
There's something, I don't know. There's, to me, that's where the romance is, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, man, doing pretty good. Just working on the show, trying to get some, line up more guests for us in the future. And,
we got some coming. We got some guests coming.
Yeah, we got some stuff coming. Also, you know, doing my art, you know, trying to do that stuff and make stuff for people when they get a hold of me and they're like, hey, I want a drawing of this or I want a painting of that or whatever. And I'm like, cool, awesome, let's do that, you know. And also, I'm getting mentally prepared for our live event in coming up in October, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Just a few weeks away.
It's crazy.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. We are too coming into a shift in seasons. You know, it's not so hot. It's bearable. Lower 90s is kind of where we're peaking at, and we'll have a couple hot days, some more hot days before we start to settle into the cooler time. You know, usually, into October, early October, mid-October, it starts to get nice and cool. So,
yeah. But yeah. By the time this comes out, it should be getting pretty good for you there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that'd be great. So yeah, things are good. Things are good.
Good deal, man. So what we've got today, this is kind of interesting. We've got something from our vault. And we've got a few things from our vault, but this is a story from the vault. And we've been sitting on it for a while. Just waiting for the right moment. It seems a good time for it, you know, to bring it out. And this was from when we spoke to Vinny, my buddy Vinny, way back in the beginning of the podcast. Vinny had he had those spooky shadow men, other creepy stories, right?
Those were good. Those were
remember
good.
Those?
Yes.
Yeah, and we paired that up because that was a shorter thing. So we paired that up with Chris, who also had his, you know, shadow man and other, you know, that creepy, his creepy experience and stuff. So we took the second part of Vinny's interview, which is much longer and much different, and we held on that. We sat on it. We were going to use it, and then we just like, well, okay, let's hold on it again. So we finally found a place that is a good place to drop it. This is about a strange night, a strange journey, a weird journey for sure. It's not your spooky type. It's not your it's not woo-woo at all. It is a story of a young man out looking for a good time and where the night takes him and his guide on this night. So I don't want to give too much away, but this is definitely, it's got some really surreal aspects to it for sure.
Yeah, it's a good, good story. I can't wait for people to hear it.
Cool. All right. Well, let's just crack into it and say, Vinny, what's your weird story?
It's like, it's Lynchian, it's water-esque, yep. But, and then I was like, when I was like remembering it, I'm like, you know, it's more like a Harmony Korine thing.
Yeah, that very much, very much.
You know, and I know they all, you know, Harmony Korine stands on the shoulders of Lynch and Waters, but it's, I don't want to hype it up too much, but here we go.
I'm going to say this. I think it's better than a Harmony Korine movie, but strike me down. I'm not a fan of his work, generally speaking. So,
oh man, Gelman's like my favorite.
Oh, dude, here's the thing. I took a lot of shit from this when I went out east, and everybody was just, especially in the art school at ECU, everybody loved Gummo. And Barry, did you ever see Gummo?
I did not.
All right, well, you don't need to see it, because basically what this movie is, it's a small town in the Midwest, and this follows a kid around as he's going around to all the other, like, seeing all the other neighborhood kids, basically, the day after a tornado has happened.
Okay.
And we've lived that.
Yeah, we lived that, for sure.
And it's just, you go around and you see these kind of weird, normal things, that, like, slice of life and trailer parks and stuff like that, in a small town or whatever after. And so, like, for me, man, I was so bored, because I was like, dude, I know these people. That's Tim Ring over there. Whatever, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, I know these people. It's just whatever. So for me, Gummo was not the mind-altering, jaw-dropping experience that most other people who didn't come from that had. You know,
yeah, I never heard of that. Even I don't think this is news to me. So
it's worth it. I think, you know, it's beautifully shot, and
I'll give you that. It is incredibly well shot. Mm-hmm. It is not heavy on plot. No. Or anything like that, and it's kind of one of those cult films, art house films, where it's like that. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like Kids, which I couldn't finish either.
Oh, I didn't like Kids.
Kids was just way too brutal and just too much. And, you know, and of course, I couldn't identify with Kids, because I'll tell you what, Gummo is basically almost the exact antithesis of Kids, because it's small town Midwest, and Kids is New York City proper, you know? Right. So, anyway. Okay, so let's get enough film dissection, and let's carry on to Vinny's very own strange trip.
Yeah. All right. So, quick background. I had to have been probably 15 or 16 at the time, like brand new to the scene. Well, not brand new, but still kind of like chomping at the bits and just saying yes to anything and everything, because like I had a taste of, like, I don't know, life, you know. It's just like everything was brand new.
Yeah.
Drugs, alcohol, parties, punk rock, like just everything was brand new to me. And it was
You were primed for it, man. You were in a prime time for all of that, because you were open to experiencing life. You were, you know, 15, 16. You were in a college town that was a known party town, and was excess was the way, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and I mean, you also had kind of a lot of freedom, you know, that a lot of kids your age did not have.
No, my mom was super cool, super lenient. Not like the coolest mom, you know. She's like, didn't buy me cigarettes or anything like that, or drive me to shows, but she didn't stop me either. Like I would go to shows during the week. Mm-hmm. I'd get fucked up during the week. She cared. You know what I mean? Like any mother does. But as long as I wasn't failing in school, like, she was like, oh, I guess he's got it handled. You know, she let me sharpen my teeth on the bones of society rather than, you know, on her, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I think she let you be a responsible person before a lot of your peers, because I guess she realized that. I mean, and like, I've known Vinny since he was about this time that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And when he used to, you know, because I worked at the record shop and he was hanging out there and at the shows and stuff. And Vinny was, you know, I mean, he, like I said earlier, he walked around with the total real
hardcore PR punk rock kid wear, and with the boots and the jeans and the jacket and the mohawk and everything. But also, you were always a good kid. You were always responsible for yourself for the most part, and for your friends, you know.
Yeah.
And so you looked out for your people. So you were somebody that a parent could, you know, you could trust. So I mean, it speaks highly of you as your character, and then and as you know. So
yeah, anyway, I just don't want to pay my mom as like some absentee parent.
Oh no, not at all.
Oh no, I don't know. Like you know, but
yeah.
But anyway, so I had woken up and from a party at Bert and Joey's house, which was like a main, like pretty, you know, regular spot. Like if there wasn't something going down at the back door, probably something going on over there. And so like I woke up and went to the fridge because I had bought like some 40s and I poured a 40 into a coffee cup. Because I thought that was brilliant. That way I could walk around downtown and drink. You know, I was like, nobody's ever thought of this before.
Of course.
And yeah, so I went downtown because I had to score some more cigarettes. And I can't buy them, too young. So I was just going to find somebody to buy them for me. Like, and typically it could be a bum or, you know, just some college kid. They don't give a shit, you know? So I did that, and then I met this guy, and I don't know how we started talking, how he got my attention, but eventually, like he promised he could double my money, and you know, and again, I was so like I'm young and naive. You know, like I'm all like nowadays, I'd be like, man, get the hell out of here. That's sounds too easy. Therefore,
but then it sounded good then though. It sounded good. This is promising. I walked out the door with 10 bucks. I'm going to get 20.
Yeah. Like I had 20 bucks on me and I was like, wow, 40 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how many shows I could get into. How many, you know, like right. How much beer I can buy. Like that was my only.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Yeah.
At that time, like my only concern was punk rock, drugs, sex, you know, like I really didn't give a fuck about anything else.
Yeah, you know? you're 16, man. I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hormones. Hormones are doing it all. So.
So, yeah. So like I was like, all right, cool. We can do that. But I was like, I got to hit up this show real quick because there was like an afternoon show, a straight edge show.
Mm.
At the Pigeonhole, which was a straight edge Ben's place. Like that's what he was also known as.
Right.
Which is the first time I've ever heard it.
I never heard it was the Pigeonhole.
I think it's probably just something they wanted to start. Like I remember it being on the flyer.
Right.
Oh, you had to call it caught on, you know,
you had to give it a name. And yeah, every house that had shows had to have a name. For some reason, I think it started. Well, no, I was going to say it started with the Soccer Moms, but I know it goes further back because the Spasm's house, and it was usually band houses that would have, you know, like shows. So,
yeah, or Bert and Joey's.
Bert and Joey's, but they, I know, you know, but they never. Bert and Joey's just sounds like never had a name. It's just Bert and Joey's.
Yeah,
this is Bert and Joey's. No.
But I don't know why they call it the Pigeonhole or whatever. I might even be misremembering that. But either way, it was a straight edge show. And I'd already drank in like most of that 40. And so I stopped back at Burton Joey's, like, this was never locked. And like got another 40, poured it in my coffee cup, and then went to the show. Because I was like,
you're at a straight edge. Now, some people that listen to this podcast don't know what straight edge is. You're at a straight edge. So straight edge is kids that they don't drink, do drugs for the most part.
Or have sex.
Have sex. Smoke. drink coffee, any of that.
None of the fun stuff.
Exactly.
Sorry, straight edge listeners.
Right.
They're basically Mormons.
They're basically Mormons that listen to like right
punk rock.
Right. Mormons. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, but you are showing up to the straight edge show, pretty lit, and imbibing, enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Okay. I've already had blacked out a couple times before this incident, you know? Okay. So like I was no virgin to alcohol.
Yeah.
I was on the regular getting messed up. But I put it in, like, I knew the straight edge scene kind of, like, I knew there were rules, and that's why I kept it in the coffee cup. Because I was like, well, I didn't go there intentionally to piss anybody off. Like,
yeah,
it's cool. You don't want to do that.
Right.
But I'm going to do that. But I'm also not going to shove it in your face about it. You know, like, this is whatever. I wanted to be respectful, but I still wanted to get fucked up. And so, and then, like, there was this band, Two Fisted, and they were playing, like, and he was like saying how he wished he had had a beer. I'm like, it's a band, like, you're alcoholics, clearly, or not alcoholics, but, you know, like, but you drink, you named your band Two Fisted, but you're playing a straight edge show, and then you're gonna bitch about, like, not having anything to drink.
Right.
So I was like, oh, here, I got you, dude. Like, he was like, I don't want any coffee. I was like, no, there's beer in there, you know. And then, like, so a couple few gas or whatever, I'm like, oh, get over it, you know. Like, and he drinks it, and then he wants to accost me for having shitty taste in beer. I'm like, he's like, what is this? I'm like, it's Schlitz, man. I don't, you know.
This guy was a craft beer connoisseur, man.
Yeah, like, way before it was super popular. Right.
Barry, when you lived in Milwaukee, Barry, when you lived in Milwaukee, did you have Schlitz on tap in every home, or was that just?
It was a lot of Pabst was the
BBR.
That was the deal.
Punk rock beer, man.
That's it.
Yeah, it was cheap. Like, I didn't.
And it was good. It was good, dude.
Yeah.
Why not? King Cobra was my go-to.
Yo, you like the malt liquor?
Yeah. Then it came out with a wide mouth, so you could put more in. Like, I'm telling you, I was concerned with, like, getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, not just like a little afternoon tipsy. I'm trying to go hard.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Because I was like, well, that's what punk rock is.
Yeah. Of course. You know?
And so he costed me, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. And I was like, let's go do your thing. Let's go double our money. You know. So he takes me to, like, I don't know where the fuck he took me to, because I was still kind of, like, mapping out, you know, downtown, because I did everything by foot. Like, I lived 6 miles away, but I would walk downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You see Vinny walking all the time, man.
Okay.
And, everywhere. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a bike.
Hoofed it. Punk rock style, man. Hoofed it everywhere.
It's not late, dude. We got it. Trust me. Okay. And my left and my right, that took me everywhere. I mean, and then if somebody gave me a ride back home, you know, that'd be cool. Or I usually crash or eventually walk my happy ass back home.
I remember several times taking you, just now remember taking you out back home, dude.
Yeah.
Way out there on the other side of town. Way on the other side of town.
Yeah. Like,
Barry, it would have been like he would have been walking from, like, my house to your house in Kingfisher.
Yeah.
That's how far he would have been.
That's a good walk.
Oh. That's how strong my dedication was.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't do it all the time, but 90% of the time, I'd be out there.
Yeah.
You know, even if I didn't know anything was going on, I'd hit up the alley, like, buy the Percocet and see what's happening. That's where the info was, and then go to CD Alley.
Nice.
So he takes me to, like, not the greatest part of town, you know? Like, and we go to, like, it's a neighborhood I've never seen before. Like, playgrounds all rusted out and, like, falling apart. Just everything's dilapidated. Clearly, these people are not doing well, you know? And then we hit up this like one house. The guy who answers it is in a like pink, like hot pink, like 50s pink robe, like silk, maybe. Probably wasn't silk, but it looked appeared silk.
Yeah.
And it was like mid thigh. You know?
Nice.
Right. And I want to say he didn't have a shirt on. And I think he had like boxer shorts on. But like, I really wish it was like whitey tighties and like pee stained, but it wasn't.
In my mind, it doesn't matter what you say, but in my mind, the visual is he's got kind of like, he's got the leopard print, kind of Speedo, kind of jock strappy things, you know.
Right. And like, and I'm already like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm down for whatever. And I was like loving the fact that shit was weird. But I was like, I really don't want to go in this guy's house.
Yeah. Because it could just get weirder.
Yeah. I was like, I'm like testing out, you know, I guess my limits. Like, how weird can it get before I'm like, nah, I'm out. But then, you know, like I remember telling myself like, no, I'll be cool. Like, don't be weirded out. That's just that's his thing. And, like he had kind of like slick back hair. Like it would have been in a pompadour had he fixed himself up, like kind of a Presley kind of thing, but it was like kind of all over the place. So we get in his house and it's like 50s kitsch, like everywhere. There's a Velvet Elvis.
Yes.
There's also a Velvet Marilyn.
Nice. You know?
Man, I wish I knew who this dude was. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Just like peeked inside, you know, just been a fly on the wall in his life. And he's like on the phone, you know, not a cell phone, but not like, but cordless. What do we call him? Cordless, yeah. God damn. He was on cordless and he was like upset and kind of like, you know, not really yelling, but like talking loudly to the other person on the phone. And, but yeah, like I sat down on his couch, like it was like he inherited the place from his like grandmother or something, you know, and just nothing ever changed. But like, I'd like to think, cause I didn't know, I didn't ask him about it, but I like to think he loved all that shit. Like unironically, like he was really into like 50s kitsch, like Waters, like John, that's where the John Waters part. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And,
I'm on the same page with you there. I think that guy, I think that was his shtick. He was there.
Yeah. Like, and that's cool. And it was just like, oh, he even had that weird cat thing, you know, the cat clock with the fucking eyes that go.
Yeah.
Back
yeah,
and,
yeah.
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 Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Oh, I hate those things. I don't know why. Yeah, because like I remember that because I was like, God damn it. Like as soon as I saw it, I got like upset. Like if not upset by like a fucking half naked man answering the door with like a pink robe on, but like a hot pink satin robe, but no, that cat clock.
Everybody's got, you found your limits, I guess. Yeah.
That's my limit of weird that I'm just like, no.
Sit down on the couch.
Yeah, we're sitting on the couch and the homeboy starts talking to the dude, the owner of the house about some shit. And I was like, I don't know. Like I'm getting weird. I am getting weirded out at this point. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be in this situation. Like, I think I put myself in a situation where I don't need to be in. And I'm like, kind of checking out the exits. I'm like, not even listening to what they're saying. Like, as long as I'm not going to about to get killed or help somebody, you know, I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Cause he didn't seem to be in his right mind, the owner of the house, you know. But next thing crack comes into the equation. And I forget exactly how crack comes into the equation. But now we're in the dude's bedroom and they're smoking crack.
Uh-oh.
And the door's shut and they're like, do you want some? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Yeah. Like at that time, I had a I had a few drugs that I was like, not going to touch those, you know, PCP, heroin, and crack.
Yeah.
I won't go into which ones I have done.
Yeah.
But there's only one of them I haven't on that list. That I was like, But yeah, so they started smoking crack and I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like, whatever. At that point I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta find a way to like ditch this dude. But when we leave, we finally leave and I'm all fucked up. Like I have basically like I was hotboxed with like fucking secondhand crack smoke.
Okay. So you're feeling so a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. I'm like, wow, why do I have all this energy? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like me and this guy get to talking and like, we don't stop talking, you know, like,
oh man.
And then he just walks me around like downtown, like not Fifth Street or anything, not like downtown actual, but like, you know, the neighborhoods, like Third and Fourth and all that. We're just like walking. And I remember I can recognize a few of the houses. Like I've been down here before. Like I feel more comfortable because I'm like, I know where I am.
Right.
You know, like if I had to fucking get out of there, I know where to go, what places I can like hide out in. But then we end up walking back to Fifth Street because he's talking about like, oh, I gotta hit up this one dude for some money. He's like, I gotta get my money, and once we get my money, we'll go and we'll double ours. And I was like, all right, cool. So we go to on Fifth Street and it's this apartment or this like a doorway that leads up to the stairs to apartments above a restaurant in Greenville. It's like it was next door to CD Alley and in between CD Alley and Cubby's. Yeah, you know who you know.
I know exactly what's going on and the those apartments, and I never went in them, but there was a reason.
Right, and you're about to hear the reason. Like I'd been up there like a couple of times, you know, and it was like it was you know there's the first two times I went in there like yeah it kind of smelled like you know. Dog shit and piss here and there. Like they just had dogs and they didn't let them out all the time. Like whatever. And I was like, oh, I remember like, oh, so punk rock smells awful and we're gonna get fucked up. Like that was in the very beginning. Like I was just like, whatever, it's gross and disgusting. Punk rock. But when we went up there this time, it was like. Like once we opened the door, once we got upstairs and the door was open, I mean, it was just like, it was awful. Like the smell was immediate. Like you could taste it.
Ugh.
Of just piss and shit.
Ugh.
And like no lights were on except for like way straight back. There was like a red light, you know, because every fucking shitty drug person has to have like that one red light bulb. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But they do, and it's like dimly lit, like, and the entire passageway is just like you can see like bumps and smushes of just shit. And look, an old dude just like navigates that minefield, not too well, but better than I could have, and starts talking to this cat who's like, he like wakes him up, and the guy's like nodding out and everything. So he had just shot up, like, probably moments before we got there. And you know, old dude starts getting loud with I remember meeting the guy one time, but he was like a skinny kid, like white dude, just he was a heroin user, you know, which not uncommon for
I mean honestly those apartments were pretty much all I mean they were just a lot of there's a lot of junkies that lived up there. Everybody that I knew that had a place up there was a junkie. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and so he was like talking about like, hey, do you have my money? Because I guess he sold him some heroin and dude didn't have his money, and he was like, we just go into the room in the middle of a hall and like just grab some CDs and like, you know, you can have those as payment. So he's like, and he tells me that, and I'm like, okay, I'm young and I'm so impressionable, and I was like, all right, cool, like that's between you two, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And he just hands me CDs to hold, and I'm like, all right. So then CD Alley is closed because it was late, which, you know, you could sell back CDs there.
I knew probably all those people from that, because, like, you know, they, it literally was in, like, next door to the CD Alley. And, yeah, so that's why I know a lot of those people. At the time, I didn't, because I was also kind of a little bit naive. But, you know, or later on, I learned more, so.
Yeah, and music, like, people talk and shit gets out. But, like, so we take it down to, I forgot what that bar was with the patio. Remember? It was attached to that.
Was it Alfredo's, or was that? No, that was the place across the street. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
Anyway, it had, like, an outdoor patio, and it was run by, like, a couple of shady dudes.
Yeah, they were at, all the bars were run by shady dudes.
But these were the shadies. Like, I didn't get along with them at all. I mean, I was able to drink on their back porch, but, you know. But anyway, so, like, we sold him the CDs, and, you know, so the guy got his money, and then he takes me, then we start walking up Dickinson past the comic book shop, and, like, the hobby horse wasn't there at the time, but, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, past that. Like, I feel... It was straight. It was
really,
the
really, really bad part of town.
It's like bad. You don't really bad, you don't bad. You don't need to be there unless you're there for something.
Yeah,
yeah. You don't need to be walking around in that night. You don't need to be walking around at night.
Yeah, not even if you live there. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're gonna get jacked and or worse, you know. So, like, he takes me up there, and I was like, "Dude, is this cool?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah. You know, this is my neighborhood. It's all good." And so, like, I remember stopping by a chain link fence, and he was like, "Hey," he's like, "just wait here. I'm going to go up two blocks into this house." He's like, "You know, you don't want, they don't like, you know, new people coming in, you know, and all this other stuff." And I was like, "I got it. Not the first time that I've dealt with drug dealers, you know,
today."
So, right. Yeah. I was like, "I get it, you know." So I was like, "I'll just wait here." So I wait there for like an hour. Like, and I'm getting asked, like, "Hey, kid, you know, hey, white boy, you want some crack, you know?" Like, and I don't mean that, like, in any type of, like, weird
sexual manner
or racist way. Like, he's just saying, like, the dude was asking me, "Do I want some crack?"
Of course.
And I'm like, "No, thank you." Like, "No, I've already had some, I guess." I'm good. But yeah, people are, you know, and then he was like, "Well, what the fuck are you doing here?" And I'm like, like, I don't have an answer, you know? I was just like, "I'm just waiting for my friend to come back," you know. That happens a couple more times. And after, like, an hour, I was like, "Oh, shit. I just got conned." Like, like, that's when it hit me. Like, the longest con ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, like, 8 hours this guy invested just for $20.
Wow.
Well, and, you know, he also benefited from your charming personality and companionship for the day.
And
you know, it's possible that if you hadn't taken off, I'm guessing that's what you're doing here after you realize what happened, that you know, he could have went back, he could have sold you to somebody, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was it could have been a lot worse. And but then, yeah, I'm like, and then I went back to buy, and I was pissed. I mean, I was fucking pissed. I remember, like, crying a little bit, you know. I was just like, "God damn it!" Like, so mad at, like, being so stupid. But yeah, and then, like, I think the next weekend, like, I went down there pretty early, and the dude who CDs those were, like, had nothing to do with any of that shit. He was like, he didn't accost me. He was like, kind of real. He was real cool about it. He was like, "Hey, I heard you went into my room and, like, stole my CDs and sold them to the guys on the corner." I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "I didn't go in your room and steal anything. Like, I was told, like, it was cool with those two." I was like, "I don't know whose fucking shit this is." And he was like, "Yeah, that should have given you the clue." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." But, like, he was so cool about it. It made me feel like the biggest piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even stay to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as, like, that conversation was over, Like, I walked right back home, and I didn't go out for like a month or two. Like, I had to, and every time I would like fuck up in the scene, like I would take a sabbatical. Be like, all right, you need to fucking tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then reintroduce yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's smart, though, dude. That was a smart thing to do, because you could get so easily wrapped up in bad things in that town, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is. So. Well, I did. And that's why I had to join the army.
That's not a bad thing. No. You know, the thing is,
it's all worked out.
Yeah. It's like when you're in those precarious situations, as a kid, your mind can't even go to the place where it should go to, which is shit could get bad here, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you're a kid, you're so concerned about, like, being the cool guy, or like, I can handle this, you know? And, like, everybody else is doing this shit. Like, I can fucking do that shit. And not realizing that, like, there's a whole nother level to this game. And, you know, and if you say the wrong thing or you do the wrong thing and you don't even know it, it can cost you big time, man.
Your life.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. I moved to New York when I was 19 and lived in Queens, and I lived in a basement apartment, cockroach infested, nasty place. And I worked in like Chinatown, which is... It's about an hour and 20 to 30 minute train ride to get to work every day. And it was also at that time really infested with gangs. And the first day I showed up to work, my boss asked me, "Have you been mugged yet?" I said, "No." He said, "It's only a matter of time, dude. I've been mugged 6 times." And I was just like, "Fuck, dude." Like, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Where we didn't, 5,000 people in my town, dude. Everybody knew everybody.
If that.
And so it's like, now you live in a place where you got to act like you know where you're going, what you're doing, and just don't talk to anybody and fucking keep your head down and do what you got to do, you know? But when you're 15, you don't know that shit.
No, nobody tells you that.
No.
I mean, thankfully, though, I look like a fucking weirdo.
Well, yeah.
Weirdo to other people. I thought I looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that was.
But that helps.
That was a good defense. Right. It was a good defense because that keep a lot of people away who, you know.
Yeah.
Because
that still helps.
in many ways, even though it was a college town, it was still a small town, small southern town, you know? So.
Yeah. There was a seedy undercurrent.
Like, oh, there was a, there was a big time to that for sure.
It's palpable. Like, once you're aware of it, it's pretty palpable.
It
is a dark place. All
the shit that goes down there. Yeah.
It's amazing that when you're, you know, before you know that the shit's going on, like nowadays, dude, I know when shit's going down and no one around me will realize what's going on. I'm like, dude, we need to get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that you learn those lessons, I think, you know, if you learn those lessons in a way that doesn't hurt you, you know, I mean, you lost $20, but shit, man.
Yeah, it could have been. I got out of there pretty good, pretty lucky.
Right.
Sunday, October, Saturday, October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma, at the Enid Brewing Place. Barry, what's it called?
Enid Brewing Company on the corner of Independence and Maine.
That's right. Hopefully we got your attention just now. That's right. Saturday, October 19th. You've heard us talk about it. We're talking about it again. Our very first live event, What's Your Beer Story, where we're going to be featuring your three hosts, co-hosts, telling and sharing true life stories of the beer kind, the had too much to drink kind, the hold my beer, etc., etc. kind. And we are inviting you to be there to share your stories as well. You can try out the variety of beers available and made exclusively by the Enid Brewing Company, including co-host Barry Johnson, who is one of the brewmasters there. And also hear some funny stories and have a good time and just catch up with us. It'll be a fun time. We're going to do stuff. It'll be hilarious. It's going to be fun. We'd love to see you. Join us Saturday, October 19th, 2019, Enid, Oklahoma.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
I'll tell you what, dude, I am I'm not surprised by that story at all, by the weirdness of that story, by everything that happened in that story, the surrealness of that story. Because I did live in Greenville for 7 years, and I had some pretty strange nights of my own.
Right. You know, people, there are certain people out there that things happen to them naturally, weird things, and they get themselves in weird, awkward situations. Vinny seems to be one of those people, and he's very buttoned down, has it together, but
now
you could but you could see that, you know, when he was younger, he was probably game for whatever.
He
comes across that way, and that was a great story. I've found myself in similar situations where, not to that extreme, but I've been in situations where I all of a sudden want to get out. And you know, so there's that aspect of his story that I just really related with. It was great, great stuff.
Yeah, my favorite is part of this is definitely when he goes to the house with the guy that's like, you know, that's all in pink and everything, and it's all, you know, the crazy 50s, you know, seems like something out of a John Waters movie, you know, and how, you know, he thinks he maybe got a crack contact high. But yeah, Vinny was a, I mean, he's a great guy now, and he's definitely, you know, more like, seems more put together, more relaxed for sure when we talk to him. Cause, you know, I hadn't spoken to him for years, and he was still, a kid whenever I knew him, basically around this time. And he was, man, he had a sense of adventure. He was always, he never would get too excitable. Everybody can get excitable at times, but he was always just along for the ride. He would go along for the ride. He would have fun. He would just, you know, wherever it took him, he would go. And not usually did it end up in these as crazy and bizarre as it did this particular story. But yeah, you know, I mean, and that's, you know, and Greenville was a town. It was a party town, a party college town, you know, with a great little local indie rock and punk rock scene. And that board gave birth to some really great bands like Valiant Thor and the Avett Brothers they kind of got together there. I mean, they're brothers, they've always been together, but they formed that concept of the band for that new grass, bluegrass type stuff. They started in a band when I first got there called Nemo that was a kind of like a southern emo band, and it was really interesting. So it was kind of a hard post rock, well, not post rock, but hard, kind of hard post hardcore sound with like definitely very southern sung lyrics. Couldn't shake it, but it was really cool. It was really good. And they used to play with
my friends in the Lo-Fi Conspiracy, even Herbie and, you know, and those guys, and went on to be Valiant Thor. And of course, one of the more well-known acts that come out of that town was Future Islands, who was, when we were there, I was part of his, Our Lord to Sell Portraits.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so.
That's awesome.
Rich, it was a fun history. Town. Yeah, it was rich history. It was a fun town, and Vinny was part of there, you know, through all those shows, and I used to see him all around and give him rides home when he was, couldn't, because he lived so freaking far away from downtown. You know, you hate to see a kid walk so much, and so, yeah, but... man, just it was a fun time. It was a good time, but definitely, you know, a time left in the past. Because, man, you know, that's when I was young too. I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's only so much of that you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, rock and roll is a young man's game.
That's right, dude. That's right. So anyway, I guess that is it for today. The vault story, the vault from story from Vinny. We appreciate Vinny sharing that story. We finally got to use it. I'm very happy about that. We'll be back next week with some more good stuff. Don't forget, you know, we talked about it before, but don't forget that we got the live event coming up. It's October 19 in Enid.
And people need to get in touch and get on the list. Get on the list.
So we'll know how much area to map out. So let us know. There's on the Facebook page, there's an event on the Facebook page. You can do all that stuff. What's your beer story? You can find it. But yeah, we're looking forward to that, and looking forward to all the stuff coming up, and looking forward to speaking to you when you finally decide to share your story here on the podcast, because, you know, we need your stories, and we love talking to you guys. And, you know, doesn't matter if it's a short story, you know, like John last week, you know, he had that one story, ended up turning into several stories that I remember while we were talking, you know.
That's right.
Great episode, you know, lots of fun. So yeah, so, you know, get a hold of us and let's talk, let's get weird, within, you know, the parameters of the show, you know, because Barry is a married man after all. So thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next week. We'll see you then. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.